Ready for a career in behavioral health? Earn your online degree at Herzing University. Choose from health and human services, psychology, or social work programs. Gain the skills to work, coordinate, and manage nonprofits. Secure a bachelor's in psychology to study mental health or advance your social work career through our online Masters of Social Work. Let us help you become a social change agent. Your future starts now at Herzing University. Text HEALTH to 85109. That's HEALTH to 85109. Or visit herzing.edu.
Welcome to a galaxy far, far away. Here at the Cantina Podcast, we provide top shelf service, including rumors, leaks, news, and reviews. Come in, order a Loman Ale, and remember, no droids allowed.
Oh, God. Peppermint?
Yeah, I'm not sure about peppermint milkshake.
I'm not a mint and ice cream or
you're
mint
missing
chocolate.
Out, man.
No, it's good. No. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Cantina here, where we're talking about milkshakes. Apparently, Christmas milkshakes. Let us know in the comments. Do you like peppermint?
It brings the boys
milkshakes?
To the yard.
There you go. It does indeed. Some of them, at least. Welcome to the Cantina, the Genreverse podcast network and YouTube channel's Star Wars show, where we get to talk about nothing but Star Wars, because, well, you got the Daily Cog and Breaking Geek Radio for everything else, except for anime. We've got anime versus reviews for that. Oh, and we do have a Marvel show. Basically, we've got all your bases covered for entertainment, news, reviews, reactions even. So give us a subscribe, a follow on your favorite podcast app. I'm Kyle. I'm joined, as usually, by Cam, and quite often joined by Shockey. What's up, gentlemen?
Doing good.
Good to hear. Good to hear. I'm festive today. I figured, you know, I've got an actual Star Wars ugly sweater, and I figured why not wear it? It's our last.
My son has a Star Wars Christmas jumper.
There you go. That's cool. But yeah, I figured, you know, why not wear it here right before we get into the holidays. Merry Christmas to everyone that does Christmas. Happy other holidays to everyone that does that. We got Hanukkah going on. We've got Kwanzaa that begins after Christmas, and of course the New Year's and other little things here and there around the world. It's Life Day or whatever in the Star Wars galaxy, right? So we got a few stories to discuss today. One relatively exciting because it's actually a whole bunch of announcements what to expect in 2023, and then we got some Ahsoka stuff to discuss, and some of that Ahsoka stuff includes potential spoilers. Of course, there's chapters, timestamps in the stuff down below, so if you guys don't want to have any potential spoiler stuff with Ahsoka, you can skip those parts. But who wrote the 2023 one? Was that you, Cam? Yeah, Cam.
Yeah.
Why don't you tell us what's coming out on Disney Plus here in the next year?
Well, Kale, I'm glad you asked. I think there's nothing here that's shocking at all. We knew all of this stuff already. What it may have done is give us a kind of rough running order, if you like, for the years. Certainly the first two things that they've got on there are dated. They were already dated, but one could assume that they then run in order after that. That would be what I would say, and that's what I would think would make sense anyway. But yeah, first up, we've got The Bad Batch, which is when it was coming in January the 4th. There is a new synopsis for that as well. When the new season of Star Wars The Bad Batch opens, months have passed since the events in Kamino, and the Bad Batch continue their journey navigating the Empire after the fall of the Republic. They will cross paths with friends and foes, both new and familiar, as they take on a variety of thrilling mercenary missions that will take them to unexpected and dangerous new places. So it tells us absolutely nothing, because that could have been the sort of synopsis for season one as well, I think.
Yeah.
Mike would probably agree.
Yeah.
I know you don't watch it, Kale, but yeah, I mean...
Didn't they give us a episode title list as well? Did you see that? I saw, I think, Star Wars Theory
talking about it. I don't know if
it
was official, but I've seen one. I don't know if there's... I don't know. Maybe if that was a live-action show, I'd have analysed the kind of titles a little bit more.
Yeah.
If it was the titles of, like, the Mando Season 3 episodes, I maybe have looked at it and started theorising, but I kind of don't with The Bad Batch. I'll just watch it when it comes out, when I'm bored and there's nothing else in the telly. I'll fire an episode of Bad Batch on. It's not something I'm going to rush out there to consume. personally.
What about you, Shaggy? You are generally a bit more of a fan of the animated stuff. What are you thinking about this Bad Batch season 2 and in any of the titles if you saw them in?
I'm excited for it, like on a scale of like 1 to 10, probably like a 5 or 6. I'll watch it the days they come out, the premiere. I know a couple people who have already got to see season 2 in the screeners. I have not. From a couple of them that I trust, and they kind of give good reviews on, and take the good and the bad. There's good episodes, of course, and there's some slow episodes. So I think where the titles came from is basically those who got access to the screeners beforehand kind of let it slip. So I think that's where you're always going to have that problem there. But yeah, it's nothing groundbreaking. It's really, there's this kind of like this mystery of, the cloning Emperor Palpatine that we don't know if it's going to be answered in Bad Batch or if it's going to be answered in Mandalorian. And so it's kind of one of those things that's like really only the only mystery that's left. I do like the Bad Batch crew and stuff. I just, some of their episodes are big time filler episodes, like there was last season or the first season. So if it's kind of like Star Wars Rebels where it really picks up in season 2, then I'm gonna be excited for it. But right now I'm probably like a 5 or 6 on it.
Rebels did pick up in season 2, but then it picked up again in 3, and then it picked up again in 4.
Yeah, so every that season.
Kind of effect. So, it's not make or break because, at the end of the day, there's people who love this stuff and it'll cater to them. But for everybody who's maybe not super into it, you can still just kind of watch it, follow along. And when there's good episodes, there's good episodes, I feel. Then we've got Mando season 3. That's
One second, back on that. I did want to mention something about the titles that I had seen, a couple of them that, again, like Shaki had said about the cloned Emperor and thing. There's a title, The Summit, at the season 2, episode 15, allegedly, The Summit. And we know that Mount Tantus was kind of sort of teased via some concept art that had like the name Mount Tantus on it. I'm wondering if that's part of it. And then there's the final episode's called Plan 99, and that brings us into that First Order, Final Order thing, potentially. I don't know. How you guys feeling about them adapting a kind of heir to the Empire? Or do you think I might be reading too much into that?
Is it not a bit, what do you think? Like, timeline wise a bit off though at the moment to get into that, considering when the Bad Batch is set, which is early Imperial area, so we're really just a few years now after Order 66. So I kind of feel like that might be where Mando kind of stuff could be headed at some point, but I'm not so sure when it comes to the Bad Batch. No, because I don't know if even if he did have plans in place this early Palpatine, I don't think it would be fully realized, but who knows. I could be wrong. I mean, there's something to do with cloning anyway, because the clones Omega is different from them in some way. People are theorizing she's more like Boba in terms of like she's just normal kind of thing, but a female version of the clone, obviously with that genetic switch. But I don't know where that story's going, I'll be perfectly honest with you. So I'd be hoping for in season 2 is for to tease me more on where all this stuff's kind of going, because I kind of want that to be some sort of end games there, because as much as it's great watching these guys go on missions, it ain't that good, it's not that special, they're not that phenomenal,
Alright, well, Mando season 3, what we got?
March 1st, as we already knew, we get a new synopsis for it again. Tell us in the teaser trailers haven't really already. The journeys of the Mandalorian through the Star Wars galaxy continue. Well, once a lonely bounty hunter, Din Djarin has reunited with Grogu. Yep, we know that. We watched Book of Boba Fett. Meanwhile, the New Republic struggles to lead the galaxy away from its dark history. It's Dark History. Do they mean the Empire? I'm guessing that that's where we're going in terms of Dark History here. Mm-hmm. The Mandalorian will cross paths with old allies and make new enemies as he and Grogu continue their journey together. So really, it's a big nothing. Again, in terms of a synopsis, it really doesn't even... You could put that almost on kind of like season two even. You know, at this point, apart from the Grogu back together thing again, that would be the only way that would be really different. So, nothing that exciting, really, to be honest.
No, nothing really to
mention on that
one.
Anything you want to say about Mando that we haven't already
spoken about? I'm good. Chalky, anything?
Yeah, the only thing that I get from it that they may dabble into, I don't think they're going to go head on to it, but with the whole, like, the struggle, the leadership of the New Republic, I don't know if you guys read or saw the book Bloodline, came out a couple years ago.
Synopsis, like that.
Yeah. So it's basically how Leia, it's kind of, you know, becomes public knowledge that Leia was the son of Vader. And so with her trying to rise to power to lead, you know, the New Republic, she gets kind of outcasted because of that. They're afraid that, you know, with her taking over the Galactic Senate or becoming a powerful person in the Galactic Senate, would that just lead to another Empire thing? Yeah. So that was the only thing when I read the synopsis, like, could they cut? Because I think Bloodline takes like 20 some odd years after Return of the Jedi. And so the Republic, the Senate has kind of already been rebuilt, and it gives you more backstory into why Leia wasn't, with the Senate, in Force Awakens, and rather with the, you know, the Resistance. It gives you that backstory there, why she's there. So I don't know, maybe if that's where we get a little bit of, you know, tease with that, but that was the only thing.
It would have to be a tease though, because
it's too early,
Leia, isn't it? You know?
Yeah, it's in the Mando timeline into where Bloodline is, and Bloodline is canon because...
What, the 15 years out?
Yeah, so there's a gap there. So it might be something that leads to the events of Bloodline and Leia getting kicked out of the Senate.
Yeah, that'd be interesting. She had in the EU, she was the one who had issues with her lineage more than the general public. I think there were some people that brought it up in a few stories, but no one really made too much of a big of deal of it, which you would expect that the majority of the galaxy would be like, it'll be okay, considering Luke is also, you know, a child of Vader, and everyone was just, we're good to go with Luke. So it's kind of interesting to hear or to see what they might do with something like that.
Is the EU, because Luke kind of did go on to very publicly create a Jedi school and everything like that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But he seems kind of like more a myth by the time we get to the Force Awakens, so it could be slightly different.
It absolutely could. Absolutely. So we got some animated stuff.
Yeah, the one
out.
We're all excited for. This is
super
the one
duper excited.
Really hoping.
I know, even the High Republic fans are super excited for this one.
It's Young Jedi Adventures, which is a preschool show, and I think that's all. I'm not going to read it. I'm not reading it. This is for a preschool.
That's all
show.
We needed, guys. It's for preschoolers.
If you watch the Cantina, I doubt you've been in this, but maybe your kids. Well, so
maybe
there's always that.
It's funny to me. I will say this: it's funny to me that after billing the High Republic as this just massive media push thing, it's been nothing but some comics and a series of print books that range from age and super young to tween or young adult, whatever they want to call it, and that the first kind of things to come out for it in a different medium, if you will, is going to be for preschoolers. It's it's almost like maybe it's not as popular as some people might think it is.
You know, if I was in charge of Lucasfilm, Kel, the first thing I would do, so any ideas what we do with the whole High Republic thing, I'd be like, yes, start writing some adult content for it, because
that would have been
you are not engaging with that section of the fan base. You need to engage with that. Now, I know
stuff.
Perhaps we could say The Acolyte will be that, but it's set at the end of that period, don't get me wrong, yeah. But, you know, the Acolyte, we need to, you know, based on this, it looks like the Acolyte's not coming till 2024, does it?
So, yeah.
Because yeah. it's not appearing on the 2023 lineup, so, you know.
But something else animated is, and I've got feelings for this one. I am. I'll go ahead and talk about this one. Star Wars Visions is an animated anthology series featuring celebratory expressions of Star Wars storytelling. Seven Japanese anime studios brought their unique talent and perspective to Star Wars Visions Volume 1, launching in 23. Volume 2 will feature stories from creative teams from Chile, France, Japan, India, Ireland, Spain, South Africa, South Korea, and the UK. And the US to showcase the incredible animation happening across each country and culture through the mythos of Star Wars. So one, I'm super excited because I love animation regardless of where it comes from. And I love seeing animation get love beyond being aimed at kids, which is where if you're not Family Guy in the US or South Park, it's for kids. And I love the idea of showing that animation can be an all ages affair, can have the same weight, gravity, and importance as live action, and getting to show that from all over the world is badass to me. You know damn well we'll be covering it here one way or the other. I can't necessarily get it all on AVR because it's not all anime this time, which is why it sucks. No, I'm joking. Although I would love more of the some of those anime stories.
Because as much as I had no interest in season one, I liked a few of them, and I'm excited to see if there's a few I like, because I especially want to see if there's a continuation to that one that we really liked, which was the Ninth Jedi, which they were hinting we might kind of get. So, and they do mention Japan in there, so I'm hoping that's the studio that's back.
If there were any to continue on, it would definitely be that one. So, yeah. What do you think about Visions 2, Shockey?
I'm kind of up in the air on it. I enjoyed a couple of the episodes that they had. Wasn't my style, but there's definitely some that I enjoyed the story and animation. But I'm glad it's branching out, you know, grabbing more audience members into the Star Wars community. So, I'll watch it and I'll enjoy some of them. Some of them I won't get, you know, in style, but it's okay. I'm interested to see like some of the other countries, you know, and their their versions of anime and how getting into it. So, like South Africa, like how different is that of animation than I'm used to and stuff. So,
and it'll bring in everyone's favorite buzzword right now, diversity, quite naturally, having it from all of these different countries. So it's going to be just as it was with Japan and Visions Volume 1, where it was all a lot of...
the one covered there, isn't there? I didn't even think about it.
Yeah, right.
From South America right through Europe, Indonesia.
We had... We had a lot of, you know, samurai swords, big, huge focus on the Jedi aspect. Mm-hmm. I'm really curious as to what other things we might see from some of these other countries, especially, you know, South Africa, this South America, and even the European countries, which are similar to us, but France is, in my experience from my time in Europe, France is different than a lot of other parts of Europe. Spain is going to be interesting. You're talking about, you know, well, they got the big three because UK is there, but
right, and
whatever with those guys. and Ireland, I saw several, and I have seen since before and after some Irish animated programs and things like that. I'd say the one I'm probably most interested in is probably South Africa and Chile.
Yeah. Those are probably the two that
got my eyes. What about you, Cam? Any particular country that you're really curious about?
It's all going to be what I see on the screen. I don't care where it comes from.
Cool. Well, I would say go on to the next one, but why don't you skip the next one so it segues nice and easy into the final and tell us about Skeleton Crew.
Sorry. Sam just came in and shouted at me now. there is one called Ahsoka, which we'll talk about in a little while, but and then next after that is Skeleton Crew, and we'll talk about the synopsis for that, which there's not much here, to be fair. Star Wars Skeleton Crew, set in the New Republic era, it's about a group of kids lost in Star Wars galaxy trying to find a way home. That was all information we knew already. I think the only thing that else that's come out, other than maybe rumours and leaks we've already covered previously on this show, is that there was a kind of image, very brief image of Jude Law in the show, used for a Disney Plus promo, but it's like 2 seconds, you know, so it's not worth looking at or talking about anyway. Yeah.
We did get to talk a bit about Skeleton Crew last week, I think it was.
I think it was last week we were talking about the rumors and stuff.
It definitely was. Because the Ahsoka ones hadn't
come out yet by the time we recorded.
So you guys can definitely go back and listen to that conversation for the plot rumors. There's, again, some potential connections to EU stories I mentioned, like Outbound Flight. And the Yuuzhan Vong, when we're dealing with the idea of something extra galactic. As a matter of fact, you remember the question you asked me, Cam, about the extra galactic thing here on Skeleton Crew? I wonder what Shockey thinks. What do you think, Mike, about this idea of having another galaxy to have as a sandbox? Cam and I were not very enthralled with the idea because of reasons, but right. What do you think of having potentially a whole new sandbox to play in with the Star Wars label, but might be more sandboxy?
Yeah, so it was kind of weird that whole rumor spiel about it, because I took it like when Skeleton Crew was first announced, I took it as they were lost in their own universe or galaxy, right? It's just a part that maybe had not been, you know, well,
like the unknown regions,
right? Because there's always those unknown regions. When you're talking about
it, does say there in the synopsis, lost in the Star Wars galaxy.
Yeah, so that's how I took it. But with that rumor coming out saying that you're potentially going into another universe, another galaxy, I just don't know. Like,
To be fair, it wasn't clear. I think from terms of. They'd heard it called something else, so it was like almost like the different place, right? So, for that, they're trying to work out, is it just a different part of the galaxy, or are we talking, you know, extra galactic, if you like, here? So I don't think they're quite sure on that, to be fair to the MSW. Yeah. So.
And it was just the idea, if true,
right?
How does that play with
you? Yeah, that was
more
like we were kind of what-if scenario.
You're going to be on a lot of drugs if you start messing around going to different galaxies and stuff. And
that's what I said, man. Yeah. That scale, that whole scaling up, because if you have one, then that allows for there to be more, and it allows you to have to explore so much more in the new galaxy. Does that then water down the original galaxy? And is it, like Cam even brought up, if they've got maybe some different physics, the Force is super different for them religiously or socially or what? Is it even Star Wars
anymore? Is it like the DC multiverse where...
You know, they have those technological levels, different because, tech. You know, galaxies would grow up completely independent and of each other. So there's vast spaces between galaxies. Even in the past there was, but, you know, even nowadays it's astronomical, literally.
And my thing, again, was like, oh my God, guys, the one thing I do never freaking want is for Star Wars to acknowledge Earth. Never, ever, 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 ever. I don't want us to be in another galaxy. I don't like the idea of I know it says a long time ago, but even George has said it's the setting of like a fairy tale, like a fantasy fairy tale, not literally that I've ever tracked that we're supposed to be in the same universe or galaxy, and that scares the crap out of me.
Because there's one universe, we would be theoretically, but obviously logic dictates hates because it's just a film. It's not real, so it doesn't matter, you know.
But so you're saying you don't want a Star Trek Star Wars crossover? That's what you're saying?
No, no. And I don't.
I'll
be
back in a second, guys. Excuse me. Okay, sorry, I need to go and deal with a screaming cat.
No problem. No, Shocky. I don't want
Jean-Luc Picard.
I don't want them to do like Battlestar Galactica, and I love Battlestar. That was that was fine for Battlestar, for the lost colony to be our Earth. Ooh, what a twist! It was great,
right?
But to do that with Star Wars, no, they've already watered down the mythology and
no, I got you. I'm with you on
Star
that.
Wars. Yeah, you know,
I took it. Like a potentially like there being the DC multiverse where there's all these different forms of Star Wars galaxies. There's different versions of Luke, Vader. I was like, ooh, I don't know if we want to do that. Yeah. I don't know if we want to go down that road and do a flashpoint, you know?
No, no. And we'll get into some of that with the Ahsoka discussion. Now I'll talk about, see if I can't kill some time here. Talk the, synopsis. So Ahsoka 2023, set after the fall of the Empire, Star Wars Ahsoka follows the former Jedi Knight Ahsoka Tano as she investigates an emerging threat to a vulnerable galaxy. That emerging threat, many of us assuming Thrawn. Is that what you're assuming, Mike? I'm assuming.
Yeah, Thrawn. I'm assuming that Thrawn is wherever he's landed. Of course, you know, has taken control or somehow gained power, whatever planet he's landed on with Ezra, and building up an army, you know, because that's just Thrawn. And Thrawn is, you know, the ultimate, you know, I wouldn't say the ultimate evil, but the guy who's lusting for power.
He's also Sun Tzu incarnate for Star Wars, where he's just this tactical ultra genius. We just read the Ahsoka synopsis, Cam. That's all. Ahsoka's gonna come out. Sorry, everyone's gonna be really big talking. Into it. What's that?
So, I'm muting when I'm not talking, so you're trying to avoid cat noises.
No worries.
Apologies.
We understand. But yeah, man, Ahsoka had a little bit of some potential spoilers, some details that came out as well. So if you guys want to stay clean from that, jump down to the next chapter, not about Ahsoka. But Cam, why don't you tell us a bit about what we learned the other day?
Just not to kind of get people to stop watching the video, but is it not now pretty much Ahsoka stuff all the way to the end?
Pretty well, I mean, they might not care about the casting thing. They might
I guess casting rumors are slightly different from potential plot rumors. I got you. So yeah, potential plot rumors sort of coming up that we'll read through. Nothing I would say is too drastic here. Like nothing says like episode one this happens, episode three this person gets killed. Although I expect that nearer the time, I would say. That seems to be the trend at the moment. But in terms of the spoilers, this information comes from MSW, who have had a pretty good record with a lot of the Star Wars shows lately. So, you know, it stands to reason that they've probably got good sources here again. So what essentially they're saying is that that there's another young actor, which we have some information potentially about as well, that's playing Ahsoka Tano in Star Wars Ahsoka. It's not Rosario Dawson, nor is it fan favourite Ashley Eckstein. Basically, what they're saying is that there's younger versions of Ahsoka, and that there are two versions of her. One when she's a teenager, like before the Clone Wars, I believe, and then one which is kind of Clone Wars period Ahsoka that we would have seen in the show, etc. And that we will get glimpses of Tano in other times and eras via the World Between Worlds. Now, you and I have had some deep concerns about this. What I will say is, if, and I'll say if with a big, it kind of happens like they're indicating it might happen here, I'm actually all right with it. There's nothing to, no, don't do this, that's jumping out at me. But let's kind of talk about what it is. But So it's one that's in when she's in her teens, one that might be present day, but they said undisclosed, and one when she's a bit older when we see her at the end of Rebels.
Giddy, giddy.
Oh, just
don't worry. Our cats interrupt anime versal all the time. Whenever
just both see Christine if you just I sit here and don't cry. I don't mind you sitting. Right, but you know, so that's basically what I said. Oh, it's geez, oh. Right. Why did he do that? Why did
because
they know
exactly
they
know
he
that
stands?
The attention's not on them.
So what they're saying is that we, as Darth Vader sources have confirmed, Ahsoka will fight Darth Vader, but in more than one way, and that Hayden Christensen required some training for a sequence in the series because we'll see his face again on screen wearing the same costume he wore in Mustafar and Revenge of the Sith. That we'll see many possible outcomes for Ahsoka's life and how, in essence, no matter what, they all lead to a particular moment in her story. So basically, if Ahsoka had went back to the Jedi Order, she'd have been the one fighting Darth Vader and Mustafar, but he'd have still became Darth Vader. And, you know, the point that she's learning is that this fate is kind of set, if you like, whether that be by Anakin's fate being set by prophecy or whatever, that she can't really change the past by going back. So she has to accept kind of where she is and move forward from there. That's kind of a kind of good idea in terms of a different way to kind of do a story from my point of view. But obviously, what do you guys think?
I don't know. What do you think, Shocky?
Oh, I mean, I've kind of heard similar stories about it matching up. I think it's going to be done okay. I think that you're not going to see it like a time jump in interference. I think it's more or less the Ahsoka that we know with Rosario Dawson going through the world between worlds and seeing the different events going throughout her life. And, you know, can she, is she conflicted on saving Vader and stuff? But I don't know. I feel more confident in this storyline than some of the, you know, like Book of Boba Fett and everything. I think we'll be okay. I think it's more just flashbacks, or not necessarily flashbacks, but just scenes of, you know, Ahsoka going through and seeing events, you know, in her life and where it led up to, and, you know, maybe using that for future purposes. Because when we see Ahsoka at, you know, the Book of Boba Fett or Mando season 2.5, you know, and stuff, she seems at peace, you know, and yeah, you know, and she has a very different, higher sense of, you know, of ideas and, you know, and where to go when, because easily she could have just helped Luke out.
After that, do you think Ahsoka will be set before? So it'll be before we see her in Boba Fett Mando 2.5.
I think it'll be a little bit of both. I think what I've heard is that you see a little bit happening before the Book of Boba Fett, or like Mando season 2, you know, how Ahsoka got to that point, and then a little bit of a jump when we see post and when she goes off to the find Ezra. Yeah.
Okay.
She must find them at some point because they've cast the actor for the show, right?
Yeah, so But I wouldn't expect. I don't expect Ezra to show up like episode one. You know, I think this is something that's
going to be to the end.
Yeah. What is my cat's being ridiculous? So, I am a lot with like Cam, where I was scared shitless of the potential to abuse this, but and you and I, one of us had even posited, you know, if it's like her going through a viewing room where she's just seeing a whole bunch of different time stuff, as long as she cannot affect change, we were like, yeah, we could see where that goes. I'm curious about the Anakin stuff, because how little they used him in the Obi-Wan Kenobi show, and still even then how stiff he kind of was when it was him out of the suit. I don't know if I care to see it again, but I just, Hayden was not a great actor. And it's not even just this movie, even Jumper, which I relatively enjoyed Jumper, it was not because of his acting. So, and that's weird. And what type of special training would he need? I mean, he just did a fight in a suit similar, you know, his Jedi fatigues.
You know, that was a bit more.
Yes.
Because that would be different from like that, them having to create a new fight that replaces the Obi-Wan and him fight with him and Ahsoka, because it would go completely differently, you know?
Right.
Yeah, I guess. I don't know.
We'll see.
We'll see how it goes. I'll say this. I appreciated the majority of the lightsaber stuff we've seen post prequels. I think having the weighty sequel trilogy duels was a lot better than the flip floppy freaking techno dancing of the prequel era. I enjoyed Ahsoka's style against the magistrate in Mando season 2. I'm scared to death we're gonna get flippy floppy techno dancing stuff with this again, but hopefully not.
If it's a flashback to that era, we'll have to wait and see. So
you'll love
in
it.
Terms of this rumor, there is another aspect to it. So there's a claim now that someone says, this is nerdgasm.net. I've not really come across this outlet before, so I'm not going to speak to the validity, whereas with MSW, we could say really good hit rate. This could be, they could have a terrible hit rate at nerdgasm.net for all I know, because I've not come across them. But I'm just giving you the facts, basically my ignorance of them. But they were saying that they have heard that, yes, there is a young Ahsoka in it, and that it would be being played by Savannah Steen, who has just kind of got out, or we've just seen on screens recently, playing Lena Velaryon, and the younger version of Lena Velaryon in House of the Dragon. There was like three different actresses played that role across that one season, because they had these big time jumps.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's not for anybody that's like straight like me, it's not the really hot actress that was there in the later end of the season. It's the young one we're talking about. Because if it was a really hot actress, we'd just get Halle Berry. They would say Rosario Dawson. How strange.
Yes.
But they would just get Rosario Dawson, obviously, because that's the adult version of Ahsoka. No, this is a young girl.
Just
too young.
But, no, you know, Rosario Dawson is also very hot, is what I said.
I get what you're saying, right? Yeah. We'll stop getting creepy now. Yeah.
No. No. Yeah, I don't even. I didn't watch House of the Dragon. Yeah. I have no idea what character you're talking about.
Yeah, but no, I just thought the actress that played it at the end of it, the actual grown-up actress, was attractive. Do you know what I mean? Sorry. But, you know.
What's that name?
That's life.
No, IMDb. Anyways.
Yeah, no, I didn't even look it up. I can't remember. Her name, this is the young girl we're talking about. Again, not the older one, is Savannah Steen. I mean, I could see it, but, you know, if this is some sort of flashback, mostly it's just fighting in that. It's, you know, right. I don't know. It's hard to say, but again, I would just take this rumour with a big grain of salt, because, you know, normally casting stuff like that, trades will pick up a bit quicker, or I would expect maybe a site that I have more familiarity with to maybe come out and say, oh, actually, we've heard that as well. I'm not hearing any of that at the moment. Could just be one of those ones where somebody's kind of grabbing on MSW stuff and saying, oh, I met a guy in a bus and he told me this, you know. It could be that. I couldn't tell you, but I guess we'll wait and see on that one. And then that leads us to
we do have a casting thing that
more likely, because this comes from Base Bin Bulletin. I'll let you talk about this one, Kel, because I don't have it on me, but because we haven't covered it yet for the site.
No, we haven't. Give me one second. I'm writing down my
covering
time
that stamp. Tomorrow, actually. But I mean, so, I can tell you the rough idea of it if you want. But.
No, I got it. So basically, guys, Best Spin Bulletin is saying Mary Elizabeth Winstead, and this is claimed exclusive by them. Mary Elizabeth Winstead is playing Hera Syndulla.
Syndulla.
Okay. Famous Twi'lek Rebels character.
She's not a Twi'lek, but
she's not a Twi'lek?
She's the other thing. Is she not? Or am I wrong? She has a Twi'lek. No. She has a Twi'lek.
She doesn't have the horn part stuff.
Nah, I'm talking rubbish. She has a Twi'lek.
Okay. I'm looking at a picture. There's basically the news. Mary Elizabeth Winstead what I know her most from is Ramona Flowers in Scott Pilgrim versus the World, which, oh man, the hair just did something for me. So that's cool. I'm have no issues with the casting. Are either of you guys surprised by the casting? I mean, we knew the character was supposed to be in the show and was even seen in the teaser from somewhere.
Because obviously, for those that don't know, Mary Elizabeth Winstead is currently married to Ewan McGregor, who plays Obi-Wan Kenobi. So there was kind of, there was a few hints that she may be turning up in Star Wars for something. So it doesn't surprise me, is all I would say. But yeah, I don't know. I know Hera as an animated character, so you know, until you see in the suit and you know see somebody acting in the show, I mean, I had no idea what Rosario Dawson would be like till we saw. You know, it's kind of one of those deals for me. I don't know how you feel, Shoki.
Yeah, it's just it works. I mean, like when I saw the pictures of that Kyle posted of Mary Elizabeth with her. From Scott Pilgrim. Yeah, and the colored hair. I was like, yeah, that could work almost. Like, it, like I could just sign it, kind of see her face in it. Age-wise, I'm not sure. Because I don't know.
She's
like,
38, 39.
Well, I guess that would be about right when Hera...
Right, in the Rebels, because
she had a kid right at the end of... Yeah, so yeah, I guess, I mean, age-wise, we're... So, yeah, I mean, the Hera piece we've known for a while. I know, like, we kind of... stumbled into it by accident in the news when what's her name
we Ardune, heard that she may have been replacing Cara Dune.
I still think it is I still think that's still because they haven't washed
at
away
that point, they hadn't decided to not make I don't think Rangers of the New Republic, so they were still
think it's on the slate. I just don't think it's been announced. I think it's more or less just let's get through Ahsoka in, you know, in this
what, the
story
actual,
part.
Do you think they'll still make a show called Rangers of the New Republic? I don't know, based on what Kathleen Kennedy said, it was more that we're kind of going to absorb the stories that were going to happen in that and put them into other series instead. So
It's not 100% dead, I can tell you that right now. I know that.
So there's still the opportunity maybe to bring it back.
Correct.
But slightly differently from the way it was before.
We need that Mayfield character to have more than just one or two episodes.
I mean, I would like to see him be a regular on a show. Yeah, but it's whether he
make
wants
Bill
to
Burr
actually
regular.
Do that. Would Bill Burr want to be a regular, like not just
I
turn
guarantee
up for a few
you,
days? But
I guarantee you, as long as they didn't screw with him, and as long as he was able to do bits as you know as Mayfield has had that like level caliber, I can't say I guarantee it, but I could almost guarantee you. Yes, I would bet money. Bill Burr would be down for it because it's a massive platform for a guy that is very, very much a free speech. You need to draw a line between comedy and commentary versus, you know, factual stuff. And to give him that type of platform, yeah. Plus, it would be great for his checkbook. And I know the dude's happy with that. He says so all the time in his comedy. He's a great stand-up comedian, regardless of like his delivery style, for sure.
Yeah, I know that when Gina Carano was let go, that kind of put the show on ice.
Mm-hmm.
But we ran with it shortly after. It was like, hey, you know, Harrison Dula is gonna take over the lead, and that was kind of I stumbled into that, not really knowing that she was actually gonna be in Ahsoka too. But that she's going to be introduced somehow, some way in the Mandoverse. And so with that happening, it's kind of like I'm starting to believe that they're going to wait and see how Ahsoka plays out, how this storyline plays out. And then if needed, if they feel like, you know, they can do a Rangers and New Republic and they feel like people will watch it, then they're going to go for it. I think they're more methodical right now. Instead of just saying, hey, 20 new shows all around the Mandoverse, I think it's a little bit more, let's wait and see approach and take on. And so...
let me ask you this, and looking at... because everything we've talked about so far is all 2023 shows that's coming out. How do you feel about the Star Wars slate? I mean, it's still, compared to Marvel, it's three live-action shows, one animated show that's in canon, and then two things that are just really could almost be taken out and put anywhere. And no movies again, obviously, in 2023. So it's not the biggest slate, is it? You know, in terms of Star Wars for a year, is it? Or is it too big? Or what do you think?
I will say this. This past year, we had 3 live actions and one animated canon thing. I didn't watch Bad Batch, so I'm not going to comment on that. But out of the 3 live action, I could have easily traded the 2 of them and kept one of them. So I am still a skeptic, and I am worried about everything in the Star Wars universe right now. But I think right now less is more. I am kind of glad the Acolyte's not hitting in 2023. If you start having as many shows and projects in a year as Marvel has had, you get what Marvel has had. And Star Wars has enough issues with story, let alone production quality and effort. So I'm okay with it, Cam. Shockey, what do you think?
I'm the same way. Less is more right now. Let's make sure we know exactly what we're doing here, make sure the story's good, make sure everything that we're putting out is A material. So yeah, I'm okay with having a little bit less, but the product is top notch.
Yeah. What about yourself, Cam? How are you feeling about it?
I'm interested in the live action shows. That's obviously going to be my main focus.
Yeah.
I feel confident Mando and Ahsoka. Skeleton Crew's kind of an unknown entity, if you like, at this point. Is it going to be something that's for me? Is it not going to be something that's for me? I kind of don't know.
The kid aspect is kind of like,
I just don't know where we're going with that. So that's my view on it in the moment. I'm kind of trepidation about, Skeleton Crew, if you like, just because of the unknown side of it. But yeah, I'm excited to see where it goes. So what do we think in terms of when all these things will be out then? So my guess would be, obviously we know the first two dated. My guess is after that, Young Jedi Adventures in the spring, Visions Volume 2 in the summer, Ahsoka Fall, Skeleton Crew Winter 2023. I mean,
makes sense to me. Mike, you hearing anything or feeling anything through the Force there?
I think Ahsoka pretty much is definitely going to be before Skeleton Crew, because Skeleton Crew, I've heard just some rumors and stuff like that production has gone a little crazy there, especially with some of the workers. I would definitely say Ahsoka
that last week.
I think it was.
I think Cam hit it pretty much. That's what you're gonna get.
Cool guys. Well, busy week. I mean, there's stuff to be. There's stuff to be excited about, especially if you've been a fan of what Disney's had going on with Lucasfilm and Star Wars the last couple of years. There's stuff to be concerned about if you are on the opposite. Regardless, we have a lot of Star Wars coming out next year. I mean, even though it's less than Marvel relatively, it's still a lot. It's a lot of Star Wars, and we can only hope.
All the live action shows, but yes, probably kind of will cover Visions a little bit as well.
We'll probably cover Visions. I'm not sure if it'll, because it's not going to be all anime. It might not be a AVR cantina. Right.
Hey, watch Young Jedi Adventures and then give us all his thoughts on it.
Nice.
I'm telling you guys, I honestly think that is a bit of a stay. I'm not saying that the High Republic has no fans. I'm not saying that they're not dedicated fans. I'm saying that there might not be as many as they wish there was. We'll see. If it was, you can't tell me, because we thought one of the live action shows, we thought one of the animated shows were both going to be High Republic stuff a year or so ago, and I think one of them became Skeleton Crew, or turned out to be Skeleton Crew. Getting something
signals, yeah.
Messed up.
And then the closest thing is something that's set right at the tail end and is meant more as a lead in to what comes after than what's come before.
Come before. Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it's maybe it's not all the rave some think it is. Anyways, what is all the rave is checking out lrmonline.com every day for all entertainment news, needs, opinions, celebrity interviews, and so much more. All of our podcasts that are available on all your favorite podcast apps can be accessed via the website as well. Daily Cup of Genre and Breaking Geek for everything in entertainment, geek, and pop culture. Anime Versal Reviews does what while there? Cantina, here you're watching that. And Marvel Multiverse Mayhem will most likely be for Marvel reviews and any big breaking news, but might not be weekly for a bit, which is fine. And then, yeah, everything else, all of that goes up in video format here on the YouTube channel, along with anime reactions on AVR Squared and the genre shot trailer reactions. Check out Manny and I breaking down box office numbers on Daily Cog every Monday. That's a really good one to go with. Chalky, anything else you wanted to put out? Christmas wishes or whatever.
Yeah, I just hope everybody has a Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays for those who are celebrating anything else, and looking forward to the new year, looking forward to new Star Wars content. It's kind of been a lull here for past couple months, and ready for 2023.
There you go, Cam.
Yeah, I mean, obviously wish everybody has a good Christmas, peace, love, all that sort of stuff. I'm not really looking at Christmas.
Straight from the heart on that one.
It's all for the kids, but I genuinely hope people have a good time. Oh, in terms of Star Wars, yeah, it'll be interesting to see if anything in 2023 can beat Andor, and I doubt it. So 2022, I think, still going to be a better year for Star Wars overall.
You don't think Mando season 3 will beat Andor?
It could. I don't think Andor would, because I think Andor was a level above Mando season 1 and season 2. For me, you feel differently, so
I'll give you that. Andor was good. No, good. It was definitely the best of 2022.
Andor, yes.
Well, that's that's not even a
yes.
Yeah.
I had a show in my toilet that was better than most Star Wars in 2022. Merry Christmas, everybody, and may the Force be with you.